They had like 150 people waiting before I pinged. It's crazy. It's like the punctual people who get to things on time. We do
Nerds.
just like we do bingo for the fireside, there's the illuminated bingo, and one of the boxes is almost always Asher shows up more than 5 minutes late.
Just so you guys know, it replaced the need to go get coffee at beginning of meeting, which is what
Yeah.
always used to happen.
I've got a buddy who is one of those people who is like perpetually not just late, just like an hour behind, to the point where we lie to him about when, an event is planned. Like if it's at 8 p.m., we say it's at 7, so he gets there about on time. He's not French, no. Is he an FC? Nice. I think FCs tend, not always, but they tend towards being, multitaskers and jacks of all trade. And I think that kind of person tends to be more late. I think people who are more focused are tend to be more punctual, but FCing is not generally one of those things that super focused people do. Also ADHD, indeed. After we build the Palantir 10 Keepstar, do we shoot it by ourselves because we shoot everything first after we build it first? I mean, that's not a bad idea. That would be the ultimate meme, to shoot it and then, or sorry, to build it, then immediately blow it up.
Actually, I believe that's called Future Plans.
Yeah, true. But it would be the ultimate meme. Aoife asked me, would I rather do the Fortnite default dance or twerk? I don't know what the Fortnite default dance is, so I can't answer that one accurately. But probably that, yeah. All right, there's the bingo card. All right, I will answer questions after I talk about a couple things. Not the biggest agenda today. I will tell you guys a few cool stuff. First, immediately after the fireside, there is a Gooniversity versus Brave Dojo blue shoot. I'm actually think it's an hour after the fireside start or ends, so about 55 minutes from now. So if you want to shoot Brave in frigates, I believe, you can go there. Go ahead and drop the link in there, please, if you can. Starting at 2100, it starts at 2100. To be an SRB for it, I don't think so. I think you're using T1 frigates. There you go, getting pasted. Begun the education wars have.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think we're doing Rifters and they're doing Atrons.
Oh, that's such a classic. I love that.
It's a very classic.
Yeah. Someone sent me a question over Mumble. Please join Elysium on Jabber. That is where we ask questions. Elysium on Jabber. All right. So we had a director fireside last week. And I'm back this week. We got a lot of irons in the fire. I'm going to update you guys on where we see ourselves as far as what our strategic plans are, what our short-term plans are. So long-term, our plans are, let's say, nebulous. We know that CCP has their eye on NullSec. We don't know what they're doing. So it's exciting to me. It's exciting because I think that we have the best team for adjusting to whatever they do. I think we put ourselves in the best position. I don't believe that CCP will release a system that encourages or rewards holding a ton of space and being very spread out. And I don't think that they'll encourage renting, which is a benefit to us, and that we don't do it. It's a video game, right? So I don't want to be too like, this is the evil ones, because I don't really feel that way. But my feeling about renting is the same, and that's why would you come and play a video game and decide to be a virtual landlord? I don't get it. I would never want to do that. Pappy control 75% of the space and they rent it out for profit. And we don't do that because we're here to play this game, to enjoy it, to have fun. So in the way that they are a bad guy, it's the most banal and boring form of being a bad guy. Don't think CCP will reward them. I believe that we are in a much better position for whatever changes happen in the medium term. If you want to be a virtual slumlord, this is probably not the place for you. So, for the short term, what our plans are is we have a pretty we have a pretty exciting thing that we're going to be starting to do, let's say in the next couple weeks. So I'm not ready to announce it yet, but this is why I've been saying, make your money, get ready for the future. We are in the, let's not say the final push, but we are in the time where we need to prep and start saving. I've personally witnessed a lot of people who are just crabbing their brains out and building up huge war chests, and I hope that's the case for most people. From what I can see, a lot of our guys are doing that. That's good. I want to take us out and end that sort of ultra crab mindset for a bit in the near future. I'm being deliberately a little vague here, so what I'm telling you guys is, if you aren't making money right now, get yourself out there, get your pickaxe, go and mine some stuff, go mine some crabs. Just be prepared. All right, Mr. Guy, man, I don't even know how to say your name. Can you please stop sending me messages on Mumble? It's about beehive in period basis. There probably will not be a beehive in period basis. Yeah, let's talk about the Bistot rule. Kaz, are you in here, Kaz? I wanted you to talk about the price switching observed from that. You're keen up, but I don't hear you.
Yeah, me, the cat.
Hello.
There you go.
Thank you.
We are 2 days into the Bistot rule. For those who are not caught up, what has happened is we were observing essentially far too much cherry picking of more valuable minerals that was causing belts and ore anomalies, not belts, to not repop. What happens is you cherry pick it, the most valuable ore, leave the least valuable ore, which in our case is generally Bistot, behind, and the belt will not repop. It will not despawn for 2 to 3 days before it comes back in a new form. If, by contrast, an anomaly is mined out, it respawns typically in 3 to 4 hours. It can vary a little bit. So the Bistot rule says Bistot needs to be mined first in any anomaly where it's present. It needs to be cleared out. So we're doing this as a test case. We used to have a rule like this for even less valuable ore called Dark Ochre years ago that was key to Delve's success during the Rorqual era. If you were here, you already know all this. If you weren't here, this is part of the story of us having a lot of Rorquals and beefing out on mining in the years 2017 to 2019. So we're trying that again. We're going to evaluate how this looks on the MER after a month. We may try it for another month. We may adjust midstream. We're not sure. But that is the basics. So we got a question in Ask a Director from someone who said, "Hey, look, I prefer Merc mining solo. It's hard to clear a belt on your own." And I understand that's true. And I don't have anything against a solo miner who is looking to mine the best possible ore. But what our hypothesis is that where there were just too many of those dudes, unfortunately. And so organizationally, it's right for us to go to Bistot first and see how that goes. Now I will look at Elysium and answer questions.
Kaz, who's like Kermit's girlfriend on the Muppets?
Miss Piggy?
Kaz?
Mrs. Piggy?
Someone asked for you to say it. I'm just making some dreams come true.
I see.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about the tragedy of the commons. Oh, economic background gets to come in. I'm so happy. This is like the number one thing that like having an organization can help us all out. The Dark Ochre rule, or now the Bistot rule, we're both excellent at actually increasing our mining output by quite a bit, because the of a tragedy of the commons type situation. So, I realized that for the small solo miner that Kazner just mentioned, It is a bit of an imposition. It is a bit of a pain. But for the overall whole of Imperium and Gundam, it's a big benefit. So we're going to test it out. Someone asked about the punishment for breaking the rule. We haven't specifically said, but, you know, expect anything from a, please, hey, please stop it, to your ship being blown up. Anything is possible.
It starts with the finance director glaring at you. If you haven't responded to the glaring in an appropriate fashion, then it might escalate in a way that we haven't defined yet. Don't invite that upon yourself, please.
You absolutely cannot shoot them yourself, by the way. We are not enforcing it like that.
Right, of course not.
That's the root of madness.
The reason this rule works is because it's easy to take a screenshot showing someone mining not Bistot in a and a Bistot rock on the same overview. That's simple. So the enforcement is easy. Just take a screenshot. Don't shoot them.
And send it to finance director.
Yep.
And then we will deal with it from there.
Yep, it's just that simple. So overall, we're expecting this to increase mining by quite a bit. I went around and looked at some belts in around the 1D Hue area a few days ago before the rule came in, and it was just all Bistot. They weren't getting flipped. Someone was going through them, someone was mining everything but Bistot and just leaving the Bistot there. And while that is good for that one person, it is bad for everyone else who wants to mine those belts. Thanatos asks if Type-C crystals are allowed. I believe that is the case, yes?
Correct, on especially low on value ore, yeah.
Yeah, on Bistot. Does anything stop someone from swooping in after you mine the Bistot out yourself? No, not necessarily.
If that becomes a problem, talk to us, and we'll keep track. We may have to institute like a belt possession rule like that. We will see how it goes.
We did not have a problem like that with Dark Ochre, like especially not a pronounced problem.
Basically, if you're on the field clearing the Bistot with enough people, enough pilots to do it quickly, typically someone won't be able to then out cherry pick you, even if they're watching for those rocks to be gone. That is not an effective way for a miner to spend their hours, if that makes sense. So I don't anticipate that needing a rule, but we'll pay attention to it.
Lord Trenchard asked about allies cherry-picking their relic sites in Delve. There's no cherry-picking. Anyone has access to Delve. That's how it works in the same way that we have access to all their space. If you're a goon, you can go anywhere you want in Imperium space. You can rat. You can do whatever you want. So,
yeah, that's right.
There's no such thing as cherry-picking.
Any data site that gets run in Delve is going to repop in Delve. So.
Yeah, the leaving 1 to 2 boxes unhacked is annoying. I don't know that there is something we can really do about that, unfortunately.
It's hard to catch, unfortunately. I have mentioned that to CCP, as a matter of fact. It's a good reminder.
All right. Is thinning your Thanatos with officer mods for ratting a good idea? It's a great idea, yeah. Okay, so with the update to... This is a little reminder. With the update to a boost, the Claymore has been removed from DACA fleet, so it's just all Sleipnirs. Oops, all Sleipnirs. So boosting and shootings, both Sleipnirs now. Several people, Kaz, have asked if the rule includes regular asteroid belts.
It does. We don't want to make a distinction for the time being, just for the sake of enforcement and simplicity. I know that those don't have the same mechanics, but it's just easier to say Bistot first.
There you go. All right. So I'm going to go back to direction. Our long-term direction is wait and see. Our short-term direction is we are going to be implementing some stuff in the near future. And like I said, I don't want to reveal that, but I do want to encourage you guys, if you have not been, you know, making your money, go ahead and do that. I've been seeing a lot of people doing it right now. It just feels like everyone I know in the last few months has gone into turbo crab mode. So I'm hoping that's representative of the whole alliance. From the data that we have, it seems to be, it seems like everyone's been on that grind. And we're going to have a time to turn that money into excitement. That is the plan. So our short-term plans are set for now. Our mid and long-term are a wait and see. And yes, I am number 6 for taxes in Goonwafa. I was like number 3 a few days ago, or at least a week ago, but I haven't really ratted this week. Okay, if you guys have questions, I am going to open the floor to questions. So go ahead and ask them. Can I sell you a cheap wyvern? I don't have a wyvern, so no. Altari, I encourage you to watch your children on the fireside. What do I do to rat? I do crab quills. Excellent way to make money. Relatively low input. And so, yeah, I do crab quilling to make money. Eva asks, do you read my articles? Sometimes. Do you still prefer the Chrysler 300 or the Toyota Corolla? I usually use the Toyota Camry Shoup as the example here. But so this is often my example for just about anything. But I usually use it for people. There are some people who are like the Toyota Camry of life. And that's like, it doesn't offend anyone. It's not meant to be exciting. The Chrysler 300, which is now discontinued, was a car that some people really liked and some people disliked. And I enjoy people who are Chrysler 300s. I like people who have sharp edges and you either love them or hate them. I find those people much more interesting than Toyota Camrys. If you're a Toyota Camry, sorry. This has nothing to do with the actual car. We're not voting on cars, guys. If you drive a Toyota Camry, that's great. When are we getting cat ears? That's a question that the CSM guys, I know they have talked to CCP about it because it was mentioned like 3 years ago. So CCP knows about the desire for cat ears. Yep, Mr. Hira got into Ilum for the first time and said nothing in our meeting, but that's probably a good thing, listening up on the first one and seeing how it goes. What needs to happen for Fraternity to break up with Horde and what could result from it? I don't know that there's a particular thing that needs to happen. Then what could result from it would mean that Horde couldn't time their structures and or solve to Chinese time zone and would be more vulnerable to attack from us. What's my predictions for the next patch? Trying to guess what CCP will do is madness, so I have no predictions. How do you feel about Honda Civic drivers? I feel like 20 years ago, there were like 1,000, 21-year-olds in souped-up Honda Civics with loud exhaust, and I feel like I don't really see them nearly as much anymore. I think that must have been like a fad of the time.
I mean, they're in their 40s now, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
The do not use passes, when will they be unanchored? I don't know, and does that matter? Is there a Zappy channel to find other people to rat with if we don't have 5 accounts? Rian, that's a great question, or Ryan, I don't know which one. Really good question. So Theta Squad is doing group ratting. Yep, and people are saying it in channel. Theta Squad is doing group ratting in Stormbringers, which is a great way to leverage yourself. If you have one Stormbringer or two, you can join the group, and then as you get your other accounts online, it'll let you do, lever yourself into doing it yourself. If you don't want to, you can still just continue to do it with one.
Sarah, really, not even a week. I hate you so much.
Sarah Bjorndotter asks about learning about Goon history. I think that's an awesome thing to do. Sort of a long-ish term project I want to work on is getting some of the old Goon Wiki back online. We kind of nuked the whole thing because there was just some stuff on there that was just unconscionable. But I would like to get some of that reviewed and brought back and be available. That was one of my favorite things to do when I first joined, was there was a wiki page that had a month by month, this is what happened in Goons. And then Tuzzy maintained it for a long time until probably like 2020, maybe 2021. That's when we probably should get back up going. And I enjoyed reading that. So that's sort of a long-term thing, but I think it's a great question and it's something we're working on. I missed my wiki page, bring it back. I don't know which wiki page you're missing, but that's something that we want to do. I am a big history person. I like the history of Eve. I think it's one of the most exciting games to learn the history of. So that's something that I'm not going to forget about.
Feel free to get involved and restore a wiki page. Talk to a wiki janitor as to help out. There's nothing stopping you.
What's our plan to stay ahead of our hostiles in terms of Supers and Titans? Good question, Centron. So hostiles are not really pushing Supers and Titans. They're pushing Dreadnoughts. And that's sort of been their thing for years. That's actually why we were behind for a while. We've closed that gap a lot, but it's something that I keep saying, you know, build dreads, buy dreads, get dreads. And you guys are listening and you're getting in. I read the thread, the 3,000 black dreadnoughts of Fatbee. I read that thread at least 3 or 4 times a week to see what you guys are doing. So, but it's not something they're focusing on. It would be very surprising if we were not ahead of them in that arena, and that they don't focus on it and really never have. Dread Lancer doctrine. No, Lancers have a use, but they are very particular and not something that we will be doing a doctrine on. Rimmer asked, Asher, who is your favorite historical leader? Belisarius was a general in 5th century Constantinople and potentially the best general of all time. I was working in my head on my list of the top 10 generals, and I have him either slot 1 or slot 2. You know, this is something I do just walking around. I'm not a nerd. Skippy Africanus, that's a good choice. Good choice. He had a lot of endemic advantages, like by the point that he was fighting, Rome had a lot of built-in advantages. He was basically America in World War II, where, you know, they were making a bomber every 34 minutes. It's hard to lose when you're making a bomber every 34 minutes.
I'm sorry, but does this make Napoleon number 2? I need the whole list. We'll talk later.
Yeah, no, I can release the whole list, no problem. Yeah, Napoleon 1 or Belisarius 1, that's definitely the preview of who's 1 and 2.
It's tough.
Yeah, someone sent me a another message. It's about Alexander being number 1. I mean, Hannibal. I'm fine with Hannibal at number 1. He was a great general, one of the earliest maneuver generals that I like him a lot. His strategies were very sound. He lost basically to the opposite issue, which is that he did not have support that Rome had. He wasn't getting a bomber every 36 minutes. Khan, Genghis Khan, good choice. Alexander, I would say like his thing was his dad really paved a lot of the way for him. I don't think anyone doubts that he was a great general, but he had a lot of advantages in that area.
You are the biggest fucking nerds.
Nah.
Wow.
Guys, even for Eve, Plexus. Plexus now. I could definitely do a tier list video about Fresh, no problem. Bofa was your favorite general. What's Bofa?
Oh, God. Not like this.
What? Wow. You tricked me. Man, I feel so foolish.
Got him.
Yeah, you got me. All right, so I've been pontificating on generals for a few minutes. If I missed a question, go ahead and throw them in there again. Warhammer 40K or Warhammer Fantasy? I'm not really into either, but 40K is pretty cool. If you want to talk about 40K, there's a lot of people, but I think Brokelchat is getting pretty into that. I think he has like all the books now and has read half of them at least. I mean, I don't really read 40K because I'm not a nerd, but I mean, I'm glad that you guys are. Does the Leshak nerf affect our doctrine in any significant way? That's a really good question, Violet. We're not going to cancel the Leshak doctrine. It will have an effect on it, but right now we haven't seen it in action yet, but we don't believe it'll be a significant difference. Obviously, in the fight, that could change, but we're not concerned right now. Rumor asks about new doctrines that could be coming in the next few weeks. We'll see. A lot of 40K stuff that I don't really follow. I've not done Helldivers yet, and I probably won't. I only have love for two video games, and most of my time goes into this one. When I'm a line member, I will play more games. Democracy is non-negotiable, Herzog, except when it comes to EVE leadership. Then it's absolutely negotiable and it doesn't exist. How many taco trucks, street tacos, can you eat in one sitting? This is obviously a very important question for EVE Online. I would say probably four, I guess. Does the Alliance still need... I don't know, dude. I'm not an expert in taco trucks, street tacos. Are they?
You can really house those things, yeah.
Yeah? All right.
They're like 4-inch corn tortillas.
How about 7?
That depends. Did they put ketchup on it? That might be too spicy for you, Asher.
You know what? You're dredging up some old memes, and that's valid. Our democracy is managed solely by Asher. Yeah. So if you guys... I'll talk about this in a serious manner. The buck does stop here. If there's a problem, it is my fault. It is my responsibility in the end. That said, the way we do things is very consensus building. I would say that most of our initiatives come from bottom up. And I would say that 95% of the time I'm just rubber stamping things. And 5% of the time I'm saying, we're not going to do that. You know, in our meeting today, we had something where I just said, hey, that's not going to happen. Because that's just not how I see things. But most of the time, that is not how we work. We build consensus, and you know, we have a lot of people who care a lot about this game and are subject matter experts, and so I'm going to listen to them because they generally know more about what they're talking about than I do. I am the decider. Are we in hard times or good times? Excellent question. I like that question a lot. I would say that we're in good times. I would say that we were in hard times a few years ago, and we are in good times now. Can we be the democracy where incorrect votes are ignored and not counted? We already are that. Good question. Yes, we need PI. There you go. We are in goon times. Look at that. So are hard times coming? That's what we're crabbing. Enjoyable times are coming, hopefully. I mean, that is the nature of NullSec, right? Is you build up a war chest and then you spend it on fun things. If you're here to just build up a bigger number, if you like the big number and that's your wallet, then I guess that's a thing, but that's never appealed to me, and I don't think it appeals to most of you. Like, why are you spending your time mining or ratting or crabbing in this game if not to have it blow up in a glorious space explosion? The truth is that of the 500 plus people in this meeting, you know, 200 of you will have quit this game in the next 3 years. And if that's the case, then why do you want to quit the game with a larger wallet than someone else? It's just stupid. The thing I'm here to do is to help you make exciting memories. I want you to think back to your time here and say, hey, that was really fun. That was really good. So that's my job. And if I don't do that, I failed. I have never said, hey, I want someone to quit the game with a trillion ISK in their wallet. That is a failure. I know a lot of you here are still here. We do have a decent amount of turnover, you know. I think that number estimate is probably correct. We add a lot of new people, and then people get tired. Oftentimes they come back, though. That is the one thing, is people rarely quit this game. They usually just take long breaks. Do you think CCP will do something about time zone tanking? That's a good question. It's a hard balancing act. To give them credit, it's hard to balance. You know, you would hate it if Frat could come in here in Chinese time zone and just blow our stuff up, right? There's got to be some amount of you know, time zone centering. The question would be, is it centered correctly, or is there a little more room to wiggle? Under the old PAS system, you know, you could kite PASes, and so that was something where you were dedicated, you could move them. That kind of doesn't exist anymore. It's very rigid. So I would say, I don't know what they're going to do, obviously, but I would say that if they did something, I would imagine they would make it a little less rigid. We don't know what a zealous retort says. We don't know what CCP will change. Do we have an idea of what their goal is with future changes? So they released a letter about a month ago now. It was pretty nebulous, but it said they're going to be looking at NullSec. So you can read the letter yourself and you can try to divin out, you know, what think they'll do. I don't think that you can make any hard assumptions just out of that letter. Regarding the crabbing method of earning ISK, what is the Alliance doing to increase the security of the crabbers? So, we have the Beehive, which is a group that runs quite frequently and defends crabbers. And then we have ad hoc defense, which is people running around and defending people who are coming into our space. That our defense system is extremely good is because essentially everyone copied it. Everyone has their own Beehive now. And they use essentially our same doctrines, and they use essentially our same strategery. They use our strategery. So what we're doing is pretty much the standard, and we set it. CCP needs to do NullSec shrinkage, too much empty space. I would not be opposed to that, Fuke. It would be weird, but if they did it, I think we would do well. Am I going to FanFest 2025? Unlikely, but always a possibility. Verdia asked about a dev blog some years ago. So generally, anything that was mentioned years ago is usually tabled if it doesn't get done within probably a year. I wouldn't count on anything CCP said more than a year ago as a likely thing. Certainly not more than 2 years ago. Do I expect jump bridge changes or inbound? Yes, I do. I don't have any information that says they are, but just judging sentiment, I expect jump bridges will be nerfed in some manner. NPC stations in drone lands would be nice as well. Yes, that has been communicated to CCP about a zillion times. They certainly know it's a desire, and I'm aware that the CSMs on the other side, because they release a lot of the information to their guys about how they tell CCP that drone land space is terrible and it needs buffs, and it certainly doesn't need NPC space. So they're hearing both things from CSM representatives. Beehive needs to be careful of overconfidence, as was shown recently. Do they, though, Lord Trenchard? Like, here's the thing. That BR was like $500 billion. As I've told you guys many times, I don't care about that BR. I didn't lose a moment of sleep or concern over that loss. 12 battleships, which is essentially what it was 12 marshals and like one expensive fax, have no strategic impact on us at all. Everyone who got into those knew they were dead as soon as they got into them. It was just a matter of time. If you're flying a marshal around in the Beehive, you're doing it because you'd like to be a pimp. But it is hard out here for a pimp. So, you know, there is no strategic value to that kill. It is just an attaboy for the people who did it. And I don't think people need to be careful. Obviously, we want to try and deny that if we can. But it's not something that I have spent any time worrying about at all. I mean, not a single second.
Sith fleet, best fleet, guys.
I've seen some areas of fleet that could replicate that. Yeah, our guys are aware of them. They're tracking them. Part of it is just that we're often training new guys, and so they have to learn the same things that were learned before, but eventually they will learn that as well. PvP storm fleet when? I am fiending over here. So Dan Boucher, good question. I think we have not done a ton because Stormbringers have been harder and harder to stock, and then a lot of our guys have been buying them for routing purposes, so that decreases the stock even more. It's something I want to do, but I am kind of waiting to see what the stock level ends up being and if CCP improves that at all. Right now, a Stormbringer is so much more expensive than the equivalent Trig ship, and that's true for every class, Edencom versus Triglavian. I'm hopeful that CCP addresses that in the midterm. Can we please get a reminder that folks should use our tooling, not hostile tooling? Yeah, I think there was, you know, Dscan, a dashboard was down for a while, so people were using other Dscans. But there's one that an init guy runs, so that was not really an issue. Jack says, if you think Beehive is lacking in a certain time zone, please become a guard bee. That is certainly something that we would like to see more of. We can always use more guard bees. We would love to have Beehive up 24/7. No group has their Beehive equivalent up 24/7. Looking at their up and down versus ours, I would wager that we have the most uptime overall, but it's certainly something where we could use more, but it requires people who want to be in charge and have that responsibility. For some time, there are, you know, we have more EU people in Lions than any other people. So, if you're EU and you want to have the Beehive up, become a guard bee. And by the way, you can still rat while you're guarding other people ratting.
There are perks even.
Yep. And there are perks. Yep. Nari says, or sorry, not Nari, Gamble Aces says, CSM suggestion, eating calm salvagers to make salvaging less bad. So in 2015, I proposed the ore industrial titan gamble, which would be a titan that has a doomsday. You could warp it to an asteroid belt, fire the doomsday, and it would cycle all the rocks out, and it would go on like a 5-hour cooldown, and built it. Sad. Help break the EU oppression of Yeah, this is something I know I've talked about before. We have adjusted it. We have added more people from EU into the directorate, but it is harder to find EU people for various reasons that we're still not 100% sure about, though we have some theories. Americans are just number one, which is my theory, but other people from other non-American countries have come up with other theories. Serious question. What type of players were complaining about stat leftovers in an OMS? People who only have an hour and they get in there and they want to mine and all that's left is Bistot. Futility says, excluding more dreads, what is the most important thing we're going to be pushing for? So this is kind of weird. But I would definitely say that now the most important thing would be getting battleships to 5 and battleship class weapons to tech 2. I know for a very long time, training battleships was more of an afterthought, but it certainly is not now. So if that's something your character doesn't have or your secondaries don't have, focus on that. But the main thing I would say is build dreads, and then also carriers are something we would like to be seeing a lot more of. So dreads and carriers are very important. Yeah, we haven't talked much about carriers. It's something I've been thinking about a lot. Right now, the carrier, I think, is probably due for a little bit of a buff. And so I think if we started making sure that guys were training for carriers or even building them, we could probably get ahead of the game on what I assume is a buff eventually happening. All right. Any more questions before I get to wrap this up? Large weapon 5 is a prereq for dreads? I don't think so, but I don't remember for sure. Am I a nerd? Okay. Zinthus says it is.
It is. You don't need battleship 5 for dreads anymore.
Yeah, you don't need battleship 3, I think. Yeah. Someone asked, am I a nerd? The answer is no, I am not a nerd. Obviously not. The guy who runs with like the largest video game clan in the world, definitely not a nerd. Will the Palantine be in 1DQ? That seems like the logical choice. Are we the largest? I don't like I don't have any hard data on that buff, but we probably are. If you have all racial battleships 5 trained on 1 character, does that make you a nerd? It makes you prepared. How far in Palantine construction are we? We're the exact same place we are last week. We're talking about an immense amount of like PI minerals and everything else, so it's not something that it's going to be like every week there's going to be more. Can we give PH a keepstar in T5ZI? That would make it easier for them. I have literally Levitine. I've thought exactly about that. Like, if we just gave them one, would they move in? That'd be really fun. But it would be really cool to have a keepstar, have them in a keepstar right next to us. But yeah. Just got my first Dread alt and Dread. What's next? Get two? Violet, yes, you are on point. Dreads and more Dreads are the name of the game right now. I think that the Dread gap is closing. I think that we're probably pretty close. We are not there yet, but we're much closer than we were 6 months ago. Can we force SoapLab to keep a blog RE Palantine status? I do not think he would do that. How many Dictor alts should we have? I mean, one is good. More is better. But one, would be more than most people have. Rumor about the large numbers of dreads from PH and Frat in Delve NPC's face are true. Indeed, they are Gojira. There are a lot of enemy dreads in our space. It is something that we always have to consider whenever we are thinking about defending ratters, defending crabbers, or fighting in our own space, is that there are a large number of dreads that can be undocked essentially at any time with jump clones with no notice. It is something that our enemies do not have to consider at all. And that's remember, their space is terrible and it needs buffs, and ours is great, according to them. Can you play this game with only one character? You can. It's better to use more. I have dreads in awkward places from past deployments. Is there an alliance scheme to replace them? No, I would recommend just putting them on the market 10% below sell value. And you will sell them relatively quickly, and then replace them in 1D heal will not be hard. How long to train a Dread alt from a blank character? That's Brett powerful. A Zernitra is surprisingly fast. You can get into the hall in about 90 days, and you can get the guns, I think another like 45 after that. So it's a matter of some short months to get a Zernitra. 2-4 asks, doesn't that go against Alliance cap sale policy? Yeah, you can contact a finance director about that if you have them far away. And generally, in that situation with a dreadnought ways away, they'll just approve the sale.
Yeah, so I'll clarify. So always come talk to us for supers or titans. For normal capital, if they're close, if they're in bordering neighboring low, then you should bring them and sell them here. Don't sell stuff in Liguria. If they ended up in like asset safety in the forge or loan or Metropolis, those are fine to just stick on the market and sell in low sec. No problem. Don't worry about it. But supers do not do that.
Same with
This
Titans, supers
is
and Titans.
correct. Supers and Titans, any super capital. So this should be all correct in the posted policies already. I'm not saying anything new.
Zintage says about a year for a competent Dread pilot, which I think is about right. Remember, on a character like that, like a new character, you can inject very efficiently. And so that's what I would do is that you can turn your ISK into skill points very efficiently on new characters. You can even get those like new character injectors. There's lots of things that are good. So it's really easy to do it very fast if you put a little effort into the mining part of it or the grabbing part of it. Let's see. Jaren Ragnar asks, is there a Zern subsidy? So our experience with subsidies has been they just don't work. And so we generally do not run subsidies. We try to incentivize things through other programs. But something we've talked about a lot, and we still have not seen what we've seen is that subsidy almost never results in more ships being available. And this is going back a long way. If anyone remembers a carrier for every hangar, that was something where we tried subsidies and it absolutely did not work. But that's a long time. Yeah, Casimir mentions things that are like a subsidy, but we don't just do straight subsidies. We usually do encouragements, if you want to call them that. Injecting was both good and bad for the game. I would say mostly bad, but it exists, and so you should use the system if it does. You're not making any point by not using it. Like, it just doesn't matter.
You can hate the meta, doesn't mean you should ignore it.
Yep. We hate the player in this case, but not the game. As a newish player, this is Numero Games asking, should I just go straight for a Dread on the second account, or should I do something else and then convert it to a Dread later? On your second account, yes, straight to a Dread. That's almost always the correct play for your second account. Your first account, your main account, obviously you train your subs, you do what you want to do there. Second account, straight to a Dread, and then probably a carrier after that. And then usually onto the third account. What Dread class do you prefer we stock up on? Hey, a question I answer a lot, and I'm happy to do, Riverat. Zernitra, Phoenix Navy issue, Phoenix, Revelation Navy issue, in about that order. You can train Amoros if you want. They're not our favorite dreads, but they're certainly... The only thing we kind of discourage is the Naglfar. What to do after getting into a Super or a Titan? Undock them, I guess. So Supers and Titans are, things that get used relatively rarely, but people like to have them, right? If you want to have the most access to a fight, you fly a subcap, and then probably a dread after that, then a carrier. Bring back Haw Titans. No, they were super impressive. I've heard some people speculating that CCP will be working on maybe some kind of Titan Anom or something, which would be pretty cool. But I don't know anything about that. That was on Reddit. Yes, having your super pilot or even your pilot on your main is bad. Please do not do that. Please have it on your alternate account. Haws on faction titans, I'd 100% be okay with that. By the way, the Leviathan is kind of a Haw titan. T2 titan when... that's a good question. I know when Merkel Chen was on the CSM, he was a big proponent of the T2 titan idea. I don't know how much CCP took to that. Since I just got my first dread, I have no clue how to use it effectively. Is there classes for this? And when do we know when a PB fleet go out for dreads? So it'll be pretty obvious when dreads fights are happening. How to use them effectively? They're not actually that hard to use. But yeah, we will be running some classes. Carriers and supers are a lot more, knowledge intensive. But with a dread, essentially you jump in, you siege and you shoot targets that are broadcast. It is not complicated to shoot, to fly a dread. One thing to remember, if you're flying a Phoenix, this is if you're in a Naglfar or a Rev and you shoot before you siege, not really a problem. If you're in a Phoenix and you shoot before you siege, it is awful. You have to siege first in a Phoenix. There's a big tip for you. Capital Simulator idea is not dead. Brave is talking smack? What? Make sure we get in Rifters.
When is that again? I wasn't listening earlier.
7 minutes. We've gone on quite long. Oh, I think I'll let everyone crack on to go ahead and get ready for that fight or get on with your day. Thank you guys for showing up. I appreciate you guys. I clap for you. Go show Brave the power of the Rifter, please. See y'all later.